You're listening to Trope or Not to Trope. We're your hosts, Kelly,
Kristen,
and Ray.
Hello. Today, we're talking about a deeply beloved trope, Grumpy Sunshine, also known as Gleeful and Grumpy.
Yay!
That's exciting. I love this trope.
I have never heard it called Gleeful and Grumpy. It just sounds like a rejected dwarf.
Oh, no. I know. I think that's what TV Tropes calls it.
And, yeah.
Everyone else in the internet calls it Grumpy Sunshine.
That is a far superior name. Continue.
Yeah. Yes. So what it is, it involves two characters with deeply different personalities. One character is pessimistic, grouchy, and usually sarcastic, while the other character is positive, cheerful, and bubbly. This pair can fill the role of a romantic relationship, but can also fit into friendships and familial relationships. It can even be something you see between the hero and villain. Now, the cutest thing about this trope is that you get to see the grump, who is sometimes a little distanced or even intimidating, open up to our sunshiny sweet cinnamon roll, who has now inserted themselves into the grump's adventures. So I thought I would kick us off with the question, you know, what are your favorite Grumpy Sunshine pairings?
Mm-hmm. April and Andy from Parks and Rec.
That's a good one.
I haven't seen Parks and Rec, but when I searched this trope, when I searched this trope directly trying to find examples, I got so many romance novels that I haven't read.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And
100%.
And like some of the ones that I did have read were like, it was kind of a hard sell. Like they just found a story where the love interest could be considered like serious or grumpy and sort of purely because the protagonist is a relatable woman, TM, that means she's sunshine. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here like, maybe you're right, but I'm also sitting here like, okay, but how sunshiny and or grumpy did they have to be for this, like, to actually fit under the trope?
Yeah, I noticed that too. A lot of the romances that I had read that I saw listed, like, the woman honestly was kind of snarky herself and like just like you said, just relatable and also like kind of over it, especially if it was an enemies to lovers. And I'm like, that's not sunshiny, it's just like grumpy and slightly less grumpy.
Like people were talking about book lovers being grumpy sunshine.
And I'm like, and really?
No.
Yeah, I was confused.
Neither of them are sunshine.
No.
Right.
I mean, I guess like the sisters maybe could be Grumpy Sunshine.
Right. That would be closer to this in my mind.
Yeah. But, I saw the same for like Beach Read and it's like,
yes.
Yeah, no, that was another just like grumpy and slightly less grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they switched places. Like sometimes one of them was more grumpy than the other.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Which like is not bad, but it's also like not this trope, like
exactly.
not everything has to be grumpy and sunshine.
Not everything has to be a trope either.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's fair, but I feel like there has to be some kind of difference, because if not, if they're both grumpy most of the time or they're both sunshiny most of the time, that's different, that's not the same kind of dynamic.
Yeah
I mean it's still a good dynamic. Like, I was thinking of Alexis Rose from Schitt's Creek and Ted. Like, they're both sunshine, but different kinds of sunshine, and it's wonderful.
Most of my favorites for this trope are not romantic pairings. Like, they're friendship pairings. Mm-hmm. So, like, even though it doesn't get much screen time, like, Darcy and Bingley's friendship in Pride and Prejudice is pretty wonderful.
Yes. Absolutely.
And then there's like Ferris Bueller and Cameron and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and like of course like Shrek and Donkey, like just a pair of people who are I guess friends basically.
I support this.
Yeah, like don't get me wrong, I do love a good romantic pairing where like Emily and Wendell in Emily Wilde.
Ooh, yes,
I totally am down for like that kind of relation, like that kind of grumpy sunshine pairing. But also, mm-hmm. like Ray said, I like a lot of friendship pairings too, like Kingdom Hearts, like Riku and Sora.
Ooh.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I love them. And then in Wednesday and Enid.
Oh, yes.
They're just
so fun. and then in Sailor Moon, Rei and Usagi.
Oh, okay. Which, so I haven't seen as much Sailor Moon as you have, but I wanted to ask about that one because, like, I know those two are quite different, but how much are they, like, a grumpy sunshine pairing versus, like, that's just kind of an ensemble cast. Like, you know, they have, like, a group where it's, like, someone's the smart one, someone's the fun one, someone's the gentle one, someone's the angry one. Like, you know?
I still feel like it works, though.
Okay. So, like, they spark those two off of each other more, like, often enough that you'd consider it, like, grumpy sunshine trope.
Yeah, just because, well, at least in the anime, the manga is different. And the new, I haven't seen most of Crystal, but at least like in the original anime, I feel like Rei was much more pessimistic than Usagi, who was more optimistic about certain things. And then they butt heads because of it. They're kind of similar in other regards, which I think is really cool. But I don't know, like Rei, at least from my memory, I haven't rewatched it in a while, but I feel like I remember Rei being, sorry, it's weird saying Rei. Rei being much more like gloomy, or at least like, you have to think about this, or you have to think about, like, you know, this other side of things instead of like sunshine and rainbows. And I don't know if it's quite as clean cut as some others that I think we've mentioned, like Andy and April, like for sure that's grumpy sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it still works.
Yeah,
that is an interesting point about like how much of a pairing do they need to be to actually function as this trope. Or can they just exist in the same world, story, whatever.
The same ensemble, the same
like
clique of magical girls, like.
Which I think, if you have these like polar opposites, they're automatically going to interact more than the others, or at least like spark against each other more. I don't know. I will say, as far as actual romance novels go, Kristen Callahan does this well in a lot of books, but specifically Managed, like that is very much grumpy sunshine, and it is wonderful. And it's, I think, my favorite book of hers.
Oh, good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've read that one. I know what you're mm-hmm. talking about.
It's like a lot, like you were saying, right? A lot of them don't play it straight. That one 100% plays it straight.
Oh, Kristen had mentioned April and Andy. And so in that particular pairing, we get April, who is, you know, the female grumpy, and then Andy, who is the male sunshine character. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to say that I usually see that the sunshine character is female and the grumpy character is male. Mm-hmm. But as we've been talking, that doesn't always have to be the case. So why do you two think we don't see female grump and male sunshine as much?
I don't know, but an observation that feels useful to point out here is that, like, the Manic Pixie Dream Girl frequently uses this trope, like, because she's, of course, the sunshine character, and the male protagonist guy is the grumpy one. So, like, I would point out that, like, we also don't see many Manic Pixie Dream Boys, so.
We should.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were mentioning Emily Wilde, I'm like, oh yeah, Wendell is definitely a Manic Pixie Dream Boy. That's exactly what he is.
Yup.
It's true.
Quite literally.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, just historically, it's been or socially acceptable for men to be stoic and women to show emotions. And that's usually what the sunshine character is. Like, she's okay showing emotions, and they're usually happy emotions because, you know, society has taught her that she needs to be happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like still in society, I mean, we're getting better, but if you're a woman who is grumpy just in society itself, or maybe you're more aggressive, it's not widely considered appealing.
Yeah,
in the same, same way as a man, it would be appealing. That's unfortunate, but I mean, I do wonder if that has something to do with it.
Yes, it is telling that men do not usually have resting bitch face.
I mean, but of course, you can always have like same-sex couples, and then you can kind of get the best of both worlds there.
Yes.
But, yeah. Okay, so, as mentioned, this pairing can take different forms and can fall nicely into a friendship where the sunshine character gets the grumpy character into all kinds of wacky adventures. You see this a lot in cartoons or just comedy in general, and this leads to fascinating situations where the audience can't wait to see what the duo will do next. Now, when this trope is not played for comedy, or when the story shifts into a more serious tone, each character learns a little about themselves and deepens their relationship on some level with the other character. This can be seen between family members in a similar fashion. So, of course, you have the added layer of where the characters fall in a family, especially when we're talking about a parent and their child. Any thoughts on Sunshine Grumpy when it's seen between friends versus family members?
Okay. I dislike when it's between family members, especially like specifically because there is a power imbalance there. Yeah. And I think any kind of trope like this with like polar opposite personalities, you have to have equal power between the characters. Otherwise it turns toxic. And so when you see this in a parent and child, like usually in a YA book or something, the way it'll play out is like the daughter, say it's like a mother-daughter, the daughter is like, oh my gosh, mom, you just don't understand me. And because it's a story, of course, the mom doesn't understand her. And like they might eventually come to some kind of like, oh, I understand you better. But like to get there, you have the parent punishing the child for being who she is. And then essentially at the end of them, one of them, usually the parent, changes because, you know, God forbid people be different, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I think it kind of shows a toxic relationship, and it's never resolved in a way that feels good or natural to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can have good stories there, but I don't usually like, you know, grumpy sunshine with like parents and kids as much. Like, it's not as much fun. The tension feels more pronounced and more like you were saying, because like these people don't really have a choice in the relationship. Like, they're stuck with each other. Then it's more difficult. It's more frustrating. Whereas friends choose each other. So even though they're different or may have started off on the wrong foot, they both have more say in the relationship. So more often those come off as fun, or like there's nothing like forcing them. Like, even if there's like forced proximity, there's nothing insisting that they have to like each other. Whereas like parents and children are supposed to love each other. So that just complicates things further.
See, I can even get behind a grumpy sunshine sibling pairing. Like, I don't think for me it's as much the, like, they're supposed to love each other. I think the more of the sticking point for me is that one of them is in charge and the other is not.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like siblings is better, but there you can still end up with some of that power imbalance. Like, if there's, like, an older sibling who's in charge of the younger sibling. And like, it's not as bad. Like, it's not as frustrating to me as like when a parent is has one point of view and the kid is just completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tend to like the siblings, like with this pairing, I tend to like the sibling stories a little bit better, agreed. But I will say, when I do like the Sunshine Grumpy parent stories, I say parent, I guess, in like parentheses, is the found family or like father figure trope, reluctant father figure, where it's because they're choosing each other, because specifically they're choosing each other, that it's much more about learning about each other rather than accepting. Like, oh, we'll have stuff with these people.
But those two, usually the father figure like has to change. I put in air quotes, you can't actually see me, but like the whole, usually the point of those is that he's a curmudgeonly old person or young person or whatever, he's curmudgeonly and has to come out of that or has to overcome some kind of trauma that this young spunky kid is going to help him through, which is a good story, but it's not how I like the Grumpy Sunshine played, because I like when grumpy characters are allowed to stay grumpy.
Oh, I feel like
that's still the case in, okay. So, like, I feel like that more or less stays the case in Up, where you have, like, Carl and Russell. And, like, they form a kind of friendship, a kind of found family-ish. Like, I know Russell, like, has a family, but also, like, you know, they don't have as much time, like, things like that. But I feel like they maintain, like, those characters are still, like, Carl is just as serious at the end, if a little bit, like, he did lighten up a little bit, because, like, that man was, essentially, that man was depressed and grieving, and it was bad. Like, so he didn't, like, his personality didn't entirely change, but he found, like, just more in his life than he had a moment ago, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, I think I'm going to be splitting hairs with this, but, like, that, I don't think you can necessarily mix the Sunshine Grumpy trope and the reluctant father figure trope. I think they overlap, but they're different tropes, if that makes sense. Like, the reluctant father figure might be doing, like, a Sunshine Grumpy thing, but you'd never really call that a Sunshine Grumpy trope.
That's interesting, because I feel like Up, I would totally consider those two, Carl and Russell, a Grumpy Sunshine pairing. And then also, he's kind of like a reluctant father figure to Russell.
Interesting. So, I don't know. I think I would tend to call it one or the other. But that also might just be me.
Oh, really?
I think most of the time it probably is one or the other. This just happens to be a case where it coincides.
That's fair. I mean, like, Stranger Things does a similar thing with, like, the kids being Sunshine and Hopper being Grumpy. But again, he's, like, grieving and trying. He, like, has to change. And so he's still kind of, like, a little bit stoic and, like, awkward. But he becomes less grumpy because he becomes, you know, more of an adjusted human being who loves people.
Yeah.
And that feels different to me.
That makes sense. I would also say that in Stranger Things, I don't think any of them are, like, some of them are more consistently Sunshine, some of them are more consistently Grumpy, but, like, they don't, they frequently don't pair. Like, I would guess the most Sunshine of the kids is probably Dustin.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering that correctly. And if, like, Hopper is the most grumpy character, like, you don't see that many interactions between those people. They're not sparking them off of each other that much. More often you see Hopper dealing with, like, 11, and more often you see, like, Dustin getting, like, bad dating advice from Steve Harrington. So, like, it's a little different, and that's part of why I brought up earlier, it's like, how much do they have to, like, because you can have a show that has a grumpy character and a Sunshine character, but if they don't do much with each other, then it's not really this trope, is it?
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that I don't like is when grumpy is associated with trauma, because I think a lot of the ways this trope plays out is, like, your grumpy character is grumpy because they have trauma in their past that they have to overcome. Yeah. And like, I recognize that that's a real thing. It's just not what I like to watch or read.
That makes sense. And it makes sense that those things coincide. It also makes sense that you can have a character that's just grumpy because they're serious and take things seriously. And it has nothing to do with like them being like grieving or all that dissatisfied with their life. They're just like on top of things. I feel like that's the case with like Darcy in Pride and Prejudice. Mm. He's like, I mean, you could argue that he's like suffered some betrayals and such in his life, but he doesn't seem traumatized by them. Yeah. He just seems like he's taking on a lot of responsibility for his sister and his friend, and he's looking out for the people he cares about.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But he's also not played against a sunshine character. I mean, Bingley a little, but Lizzie is not sunshine.
Lizzie's not the sunshine character.
Yeah, one person that I kept seeing come up in lists was Roy Kent from Ted Lasso, because like both Keeley and Ted are sunshine. Oh, and so like that would be another good example of like, he's not really traumatized. He's unhappy with a few things, but he's mostly just a grumpy person.
Okay. So we were kind of mentioning a few romantic pairings earlier, and I at least believe that this pairing makes for some fantastic romantic pairings, and usually involves a couple that starts off not quite seeing eye to eye, but then gradually starts to fall for one another. This is where we usually get to see some delicious enemies to lovers action, or rivals to lovers, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So does this pairing always have to start off disliking each other?
No.
I think this one especially can have more of just a roller coaster arc. Like, they can go from admiring each other, and then when they get closer, they're going to have some serious, like, differences and disagreements, and then they can resolve their issue. Like, I feel like it's a great pairing to have in long-running TV shows, because they're going to keep having conflicts. There's going to keep being tension, even if they like each other or want to like each other. They're so different in fundamental ways that you can pretty naturally keep pulling them apart and then pulling them back together.
Yep.
This also makes me wonder if about hitting a kind of sweet spot for character differences. When you have a long-running story, particularly long-running episodic series, you want the characters to be different enough that they continue to have conflict with each other, but not so different that they get rid of each other, whether that's because they break up or someone gets killed, depending on what kind of story they're in. But like, I don't know, this one seems like really good for, I totally believe that these people would admire and like each other. However, I also totally believe that they would be in conflict pretty consistently.
Yeah, I think that would work. I don't think they have to be. Like, just coming back to April and Andy, they're pretty solid throughout most of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they complement each other very well. So like, you definitely can play this for like constant conflict, but you can also, like any opposites attract pairing, you can play it for just like, they perfectly complement each other and make a power couple, basically.
I guess not just conflict, but like tension between them, because they see things differently. Like,
I mean, I don't think it always has to be that. Like, you need to watch Parks and Rec.
But, yeah.
Like, there's just the iconic meme where they're throwing a Halloween party and April is like, someone will die. And Andy goes, oh, fun. And it's just, that's kind of their entire relationship. And it's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. I feel like I see this maybe more in cartoons, but I don't. When in cartoons, and I can't think of anything specifically right now, of course, but I have seen the Grumps just being kind of indifferent to, or seeming to be indifferent to the Sunshine character, and the Sunshine character is just like, yeah, friends, yeah. Uh-huh. And like, they want to be together, and they're always together. And there's like this unspoken affection that the grumpy character has to the sunshine character and will like protect them at all costs. So I don't really see a lot of conflict in that regard. But I do know what you're talking about as far as like romance novels where you have a sunshine grumpy character and there's definitely a lot of consistent, if not romantic tension, like you're mentioning, there is definitely conflict or arguments.
I don't know. Like having read way too many romance novels, you tend to get the tension more when you're like, just to be stereotypical, when your female main character isn't fully sunshine. Like either they're trying to be sunshine because that's who they thought they should be, and they're going through this arc of learning to not be that or something. Like that's when you get more of the tension and the immediate enemies to lovers. Like if you have a pure sunshine grumpy pairing, they're kind of like each other from the beginning, or like grumpy is like annoyed for a hot second and then they're just like, oh, this person's actually great. Like
I feel like, though, the other examples, I don't know. I feel like I've seen it a lot more in romance, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's just the romance books I've been reading. But now that I think about it, I mean, there are, going back to cartoons, there are certain cartoons like Teen Titans where they have an entire episode about Grumpy Sunshine, basically, with Raven and Starfire. And they definitely start off like not really understanding each other, and then there's conflict because they do things differently, and then eventually appreciating one another, which
I also feel like it's different sometimes between friends versus in the romantic pairing, like in the other kind of way. So it's like I mentioned Shrek and Donkey earlier, and it's sort of like their relationship, even though they're friends, remains like kind of contentious, like all throughout. And that's like really fun for a story, but like it comes down to like Donkey is annoying, but like also, I don't know, positive, helpful, useful, accepting of like Shrek, who is grumpy and an ogre. Like, and I don't know. They like they eventually do like help each other and care about each other. They definitely start off with like at least Shrek really not liking Donkey, but Donkey is immediately endeared to him because he just saved his life essentially.
Or in SpongeBob with Squidward and SpongeBob, and it feels the Sunshine character just does not understand that this other character does not is annoyed by them. It's just like you're my best friend.
So I think some of that depends on how you play the sunshine character, because sometimes they're like so positive and naive, like they don't seem like a real person, but it's a lot of fun. And that's usually where you see more of the conflict, is that the sunshine character is just unrelentingly like positive and expressive and happy.
What do you mean SpongeBob isn't a real person?
Oh my god. Neither is Donkey, like.
The illusion is shattered.
Oh my gosh.
I think another thing that comes into play here is how emotionally stable and secure your characters are. Because I tend to, like, gravitate more towards the stories where the characters are not starting from a place of insecurity about who they are, and that tends to, like, be more of an immediate connection instead of immediate like hatred of each other.
That makes sense.
So they're like, oh, you're different from me, that's okay, let's do things together, you know. Versus where I think a lot in like the YA and even in a lot of romance books, you get the like insecure main character who's like, oh my gosh, he's different than me, I can't believe it, what am I gonna do? And then you're just like, are you 10? Like,
I don't know. I can see really easily why I guess these characters wouldn't. Okay, so a point that feels strange to me is that usually it's the grumpy character disliking the sunshine character. Like,
I've seen it both ways.
Like the sunshine character.
It's usually the other way around. And then in friendships and like anything not romance, it's usually the grumpy one disliking Sunshine.
Okay. But like, I know I've also seen it do both, and I don't know if I always believe it, if that makes sense.
What do you mean?
I feel like I'm having like three different thoughts that are pulling me in different directions. So that's probably like, that's probably more of my actual problem. So depending on how your Sunshine character is played, it can feel weird to have them dislike people, because if they are that like sort of unrealistically like happy type, they, or even kind of realistically, like if they're like someone who's like just a real Pollyanna and is always looking for like the good in everybody and the good in everything, like it would, it feels weird to have that person dislike a character. So I feel like frequently that's not how it happens. And if your Sunshine character does dislike someone, I'm like, in what way are they Sunshine? Like, are they just like mad that someone's raining on their parade? Like, because the grumpy person is dragging everybody down?
That's usually how it's played. Yeah. Which, again, I don't usually believe it either, because it just feels weak. Again, it's one of those, how dare you be different from me and have a different worldview, you know?
I feel like sometimes, though, like you had mentioned young adult fiction, Kristen, and I feel like I'm okay sometimes with that, because it's teenagers trying to navigate society and their own emotions.
Yeah.
So, yes. I mean, I'm not saying that like it's completely, I will accept it anytime, anywhere. But on the other hand, I feel like I accept that more than in adult romances.
Yeah. I will say that works like in YA or in cartoons or in things like meant for children and teenagers.
Or things like meant to be silly.
Like, yeah. It's not something that I want to read necessarily, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes too, I feel like, because you had mentioned, okay, the Sunshine character, it's not very believable that they would almost immediately dislike a character, but like a grumpy character, or just a character in general. But I would disagree, because I feel like sometimes that feeling just hits you where you're not going to get along with everyone, and like it's kind of a cool thing to explore with the Sunshine character, because then the Sunshine character can be like, oh well, why don't I like this person, this is weird of me, I'm friends with everyone, or even it is like, I'm friends with everyone and why doesn't this person like me, and then that character has to go through this journey of understanding like, why do I need everyone to like me? And I think that's really cool too.
Yeah, I think you can have compelling arcs and things there. I guess more of what I was pointing at is sometimes a work is trying to have a grumpy Sunshine pairing, and they want to make it like enemies to lovers or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they just come up with like something that's like not really believable for like the Sunshine character to be disliking the grumpy character.
Yeah. So
if it's unearned, completely agree, but it can be done.
This is where you end up with those, oh, I overheard half a conversation and now we're enemies forever,
Forever.
That's awful.
I will say, I do like it when Grumpy and Sunshine, like this goes back to our enemies to lovers conversations, but I love it when Grumpy and Sunshine actually disagree about something and then they dislike each other for that reason. Like, I'm thinking of When Harry Met Sally. Like, Sally isn't full Sunshine, but she's, I think I'd count her as Sunshine. Like, she and Harry meet, and they, like, immediately disagree on pretty much everything, and they argue because they're stuck in a car together. And I can get behind that kind of immediate dislike of each other.
Yes.
Also realizing that like it has been a long time since I've seen When Harry Met Sally to the point where I don't think I remember how it goes at all.
We need to watch it soon. It's such a good movie.
So speaking of romantic stories like When Harry Met Sally, when we do have a Grumpy Sunshine pairing that's romantic, I guess really like actually, any kind of relationship could be friendship, familial, whatever. relationship progresses, this usually results in the grumpy character absolutely devoted to the Sunshine character, to the point where the grump would die for Sunshine. And the cheery character typically becomes one of the only people that the grump likes, even if they don't want to admit it. The grump doesn't want to admit it. And I have to admit, that makes for quite the appealing dynamic between characters. So I wanted to ask, what are other ways the grumpy Sunshine relationship is appealing or maybe not so appealing?
The banter. The banter, banter is always great in this dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's just so sweet when, like, I don't know, particularly when, like, the grumpy character is just kind of, I don't know, just, like, soft, protective, like, smiles at Sunshine character. Like, Sunshine character makes grumpy character smile. Like, that is
yes.
Excellent.
I will say, I hate it when that is one-sided, though. Like, when Sunshine is still a manic pixie dream girl who's flaky and just, like, wandering around. Like, that annoys me to no end. Like, you have to have the Sunshine character equally devoted. Like, yeah, he's an asshole, but he's my asshole, you know?
Agreed, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I do love when the grumpy character is confused by the cheerful character and the, like, the Sunshine character is, like, giving them gifts and is like, here you go, like, you need to be happy too. And then eventually, like, something comes along where someone makes fun of or hurts the Sunshine character and the grumpy character is like, well, they have to die now. Just love that.
Or the other way around, when the Sunshine character goes feral because someone hurt the grumpy character.
Yeah.
I love that.
I also love just, like, looking from the outside in at a grumpy Sunshine duo. And so you just have them, like, perfectly in sync facing the world. And everyone's like, what is going on? But they're just, they're doing their thing.
Yes. Ooh, I also love, and I know this is a slow going, can be a slow going process, but when the two characters start to understand each other a little bit better, in those kinds of stories where they're learning about one another, I love when it finally, like, clicks for both of them and like, I don't know, they just kind of have to translate to other people. Yeah. No, this person actually means this, or
yes,
you know, I know this person now.
Or the in-between time when they're, like, trying to learn each other and, like, Sunshine makes Grumpy do something they're uncomfortable with and, like, they do it because they love them, but it's just real weird time. And then vice versa. And Sunshine is like, this is so weird. Like, why are we doing this?
Okay, yeah. Okay. I have, like, mixed feelings about particularly the case where, like, the Sunshine character is pulling the Grumpy character into a situation they don't want to be in. Like, like, it can be amazing. It can also just be, like, really not fun, if that makes sense, depending on how it's played. Because, like, sometimes it is, like, sweet and endearing, and it gets, like, the grumpy character to, like, open up or loosen up or, like, you know, learn something about themselves, or maybe they enjoy, like, you know, X activity that, like, Sunshine is like, this will be fun, and Grumpy is like, I'm not sure about that. But other times it's like, other times I feel like Sunshine might be, like, pushing Grumpy too far. Like, why are you, like, and then it's actually just not a great place to be in, because now it's like someone trying to make this person do something that they really don't want to do. And, like, and also, like, just sort of not being understanding when, like, the grumpy character is not feeling it, can't do whatever thing, and, like, that can be really sour if the narrative doesn't, especially if the narrative doesn't handle it well, like, because you can turn that around and, like, oh, maybe, like, the Sunshine character learns something about, like, the grumpy character's boundaries, or, like, you know, they learn how to be more healthy. Or sometimes the narrative, like, just doesn't handle it well at all. And it's just sort of like there's something slapped on there that's sort of like grumpy character, like, well, I guess I just need to loosen up, or, like, something like that that just doesn't address, like, the problem at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like the grumpy character has to begrudgingly want to do whatever they're doing. Like if they just straight up don't want to do it and Sunshine is like, yeah, we're doing this. Like you said, it gets weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't like those stories. I will say I do like kind of like branching off from that, though. I do like when Grumpy and Sunshine come together finally and work together. So they're equally putting forth, maybe they're both outside of their comfort zones, but they're both trying and like stretching to like a healthy extent. And then it ends up being a beautiful partnership.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking of like group projects. That's the wrong idea. Maybe kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to do this and you're going to do this. And that never ends up happening. People eventually have to help. The idea is that people come together and help. That's kind of how Grumpy Sunshine, at least, yeah, that's kind of how it needs to work. Because if not, you get the one-sided relationship where Sunshine is making Grumpy do all the things and Grumpy is just not okay. Yeah.
And like on the flip side too, you can have like the grumpy character that's just a wet blanket and always like raining on the Sunshine character's parade and being like sort of unnecessarily like being like more down than they need to be. And that can also be like not great. Although I see that problem less in fiction, maybe because fiction skews towards being entertaining and that like is usually less entertaining.
Yeah. And also like things happening.
Yeah.
Okay, question. Does Sunshine always have to be an extrovert?
Ooh.
Like usually Grumpy is an introvert, but I can think of a couple examples where they're like at least kind of extroverted, but I cannot think of any examples where Sunshine is introverted.
This isn't a Grumpy Sunshine pairing, but I would say that Luna Lovegood is Sunshine, but like more introverted in Harry Potter. Because she's pretty consistently positive. She's just not very...
I don't know that she's introverted. Like, she's too much of a caricature to be either introverted or extroverted. Because, like, she doesn't have a problem talking to other people, and, like, we never get inside her head, so we never know when she needs to recharge, you know? She just kind of appears and does her weird thing and then disappears.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it... Okay, so maybe some of this depends on, like, how you define introvert and extrovert and that kind of thing, but if, like, extroverted people, like, get their energy from being around other people, like, we don't see any tendency from her in that direction. Like, she doesn't ever seem to need to be around other people. She doesn't mind, but like,
yeah,
I don't know if that puts her more in like ambivert territory or if she is just too much of a caricature. Like, but I guess that's like an example where I think you can have a Sunshine character who isn't like your classic extrovert. And I think you in more realistic characters where it's like you maybe see this with kind of like characters that are kind of zen or characters that are like, you know, the quirky art mentor, but like they're more reserved, like those types of characters.
That makes sense.
I think this one counts, but in Beauty and the Beast, Belle, she's like the Sunshine character to Beast Grumpy. And she's more, I would consider her introverted. She has to recharge. I know it's a Disney movie, so none of the characters really get enough time to really like steep in that character. But in my mind, I would think she would be more, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
She doesn't feel fully Sunshine to me. Like,
yeah.
She spends a lot of the movie frustrated and angry and yelling at people.
I guess I also think of her wonder, her sense of wonder and curiosity and how that can be played to be more Sunshine. And she's much more, now we're talking about levels of Sunshine and Grumpy, but she's much more sunshiny than Grumpy Beast.
That feels more Cloud Cuckoo Land than Sunshine, which I know would have overlap, But like Luna Lovegood too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sunshine has more. Sunshine feels like it should be more grounded optimism to me, if that makes sense. Like, not quite crazy. I don't know. It just feels different, whether I'm explaining that well or not.
I think that full range could be described as sunshine, and part of what's going to get different, basically, is, like, what context they're in, who they're playing off of. Like, because I suppose you can have a character that appears sunshiny and optimistic among, like, a bunch of characters that are very serious and down and pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would still call, like, your happy cloud cuckoo land kinds of characters still sunshine characters.
Okay.
Like, but, like, as a personal preference, like... No, actually, it depends on the story. I was about to say that, like, I prefer the more grounded ones, and it just depends on the story, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I'm struggling to think of examples where, like, you have the cloud cuckoo sunshine in an actual sunshine grumpy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's where a lot of your manic pixie dream girls come in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There might be an example, although it's been a while since I've read it, but have you guys read Lore Olympus?
No. Yes, parts of it.
Okay. So it's a Hades and Persephone retelling for people who don't know. And again, like, maybe I'm just misremembering, and I only read technically the first volume. And I know it's on Webtoons, but I felt like the Persephone character was a little more reserved. Like, yes, but she's still like sunshiny and a little quirky and like very nice but naive. And the Hades character was definitely more of a grump and had to be kind of at the face of certain decisions and whatnot. I wouldn't necessarily call him an extrovert, but I would think that Persephone also is fine with. I mean, she goes to parties and stuff, but she doesn't necessarily want to be there. Again, it's been a very long time since I've read it, but I think she's more of a character that fits what we're asking about.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that character might be more complex than just being a sunshine character, because she's having a lot of, like, okay, so the other thing that I think we're noticing with Grumpy Sunshine is these are frequently caricatures of people rather than like fully fleshed out people. Because
it's
like
when it's fleshed out.
What?
It's so good when it's fleshed out.
Yeah. But like I would say that Persephone in Lore Olympus is, she has more complicated things going on. Like she does have like a positive bent and wants things to be good. She also isn't like an over-the-top extrovert, but she also has, like, there's, like, she has, like, strong, like, anger and frustrations based around, like, gosh, the situations that she's in, the things that she wants from life, the expectations that are being put on her by, like, her mother and the other, like, virgin goddesses, like, those kinds of things.
But maybe there are things that are touched on that I didn't get to in, like, later volumes or chapters or whatever, but I still feel like a sunshine character can still be complex and experience different kinds of ups and downs, and it still be like, because if we are looking at Grumpy Sunshine comparatively between like character A and character B, and they're pretty well distanced from each other, and you have one character that is more, let's say, pessimistic, and another character that's more optimistic, and that's like your grumpy sunshine. I think it still works. I honestly like it better when the sunshine character has complexity and isn't always like, I feel like they should most of the time be like, you know, they have their own struggles, they have their own ups and downs, and we should see that. I do understand what you're getting at though, where she there is definitely some traumatic things that she deals with, and she has to deal with her overbearing mother. And
yeah, and I'm not saying like the I'm not saying that like they can't be complex, and I'm not saying that like, oh, well, just because they're in like a frustrating situation, that means that they can't be a sunshine character. But like things that typify a sunshine character more for me are closer to like Toru in Fruits Basket, where it's like she's faced with like a lot of problems, but her overall like perspective on life is just pretty consistently optimistic, and then things get her down and she like finds a way to like work around them or overcome them and things like that, and just more consistently ends up being very like positive. Whereas I like the Persephone character in Lore Olympus feels more neutral to me, rather than decidedly on the side of sunshine.
Maybe I'm just misremembering, but I could have sworn she was much more positive than Hades. Even if, I mean, I see what you're saying as far as like being neutral. That's not really what I think of when I think of sunshine, but at least in the beginning chapters, I felt like she was much more naive and like the optimistic, I guess, in the state of things, because she was so inexperienced. But I do want to say that I feel like, I don't know, just saying, like, as an optimistic person myself, I do want to see more representation of optimistic characters that do express, like, now I'm thinking, I guess, more about books, because you can show this a little bit easier, but express, like, you know, it's okay that optimistic characters or happier, cheerful characters are experiencing sadness or anger, or like some of the more emotions that grumpy characters have, because I feel like a lot of the times when we do have sunshine characters, you don't always get to see those negative emotions, and I think that's a little damaging. Unfortunately.
No, I think a lot of this comes from the fact that most writers are not sunshine characters in themselves. Like, writers are, they're not necessarily grumpy, but they're introverts. They're like, live in their heads. They're not like constantly positive all the time, because if they were, what's the point of writing conflict, you know? Like, and so, like, Kelly, this is how you end up with books where no one is mean, because you're just like, oh, I don't want my characters to be mean to each other.
That's fair.
And like, it's legitimate, and I agree, we need more of that. But I think the reason we don't necessarily see it is because that's not the point of view that most writers are writing from. And where you see this most often is that romance where the main character is an author insert and an audience insert. And so you don't get a full-on sunshine who experiences emotions and continues to be a sunshine.
No, and that's fair. However, we should be writing, you know, like full-on, full-bodied characters. And I get what you're saying, but there should be a challenge there.
Oh, I agree. Like, wholeheartedly agree that this needs to be a thing. I just know why it's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Kelly, I aspire to write you into a novel in all of your sunshine glory.
Oh, my gosh. I would be honored.
Aw. I do think we should define what sunshine is, because we all seem to have slightly different definitions of it. So, like, what is sunshine, and can you have grumpy sunshine 2 degrees? Like, does this character who is neutral become a sunshine when they're paired with a grump, or do they just stay a slightly neutral character paired with a grump?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are they?
Like, I think for me, I see a sunshine character as someone who is like constantly positive, constantly optimistic, and Ray, like you were saying, like, if they have those struggles or those negative emotions, they push past them and like try to get back to their like normal stasis of positive, optimistic, upbeat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, where I run into struggles with Belle, is because she, like, her base state is just kind of neutral, and she's quick to mm-hmm. yell at people and, you know, quick to get frustrated and yeah. okay to stay there.
Yeah. And I guess, like, the difference that I could see there, like, that makes her at least more, like, when you pair her with the Beast, you might call that Grumpy and Sunshine, because Belle's outlook is more inherently hopeful, if that makes sense. Because, like, even when she is in her hometown and frustrated, she is dreaming of, like, going somewhere else, of the wide world that's out there. Like, and she's not lamenting that she can't go there. She's more, like, hopeful that that will happen, if that makes sense. Meanwhile, like, even though, like, with the Beast, even though he's kind of hopeful that, like, the curse will be broken, he is trying not to get his hopes up. He's, like, more resigned to, like, well, I'm a beast, no one will ever love me. And, like, so his outlook is more downturned. So I can see how, like, when you put them together and they start to get to know each other, that, like, kind of looks like where they are.
Yeah, I could see that. I feel like Lumiere and Cogsworth are more of Grumpy Sunshine than Belle and the Beast are.
Yeah, they're further on that, like, spectrum. Yeah. More contrast.
Which makes me, like, I know I've said this in multiple episodes, but, like, if you're halfway to a trope, like, I don't know if you can quite consider that the trope, because when taken to an extreme, a trope can, you know, cover anything. And so it has to be, like, pretty typical of the trope. Otherwise, it's just something else.
Mm-hmm.
Could Grumpy Sunshine be at its base? Like, if we're going to try to define it more, I guess, strictly, like a pessimist and an optimist?
I think that's one way that it plays out a lot. That's probably the most usual way it plays out. Yeah, I think it also plays out serious and, like, silly, or serious and fun. Yeah, like, that's another way that it plays out frequently.
Yeah.
Even if they're both optimistic, like, one of them is like, no, we have to prepare for everything, and, oh, why are you being so silly, you know?
I'm having trouble trying to think of, like, I don't know if it can exist where, like, the Sunshine character is pessimistic and the, like, Grumpy character is optimistic. Like, I feel like that idea does not make sense.
That would be so cool, though, if you could pull it off.
I'm having trouble trying to, like, picture that.
I could see if you have, like, a super upbeat nihilist, like, just someone who has, like, no, does not care at all. You know, nothing matters, and they're just gonna live life to the fullest, even though the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Like,
would that be Batman and Joker? No,
mate. What?
Like, if in the sense of like the Joker being like, well, it really matters, so let's party, let's, like, kill some people, and then Batman's like, I can make this city better, but I'm gonna be grumpy doing it.
That's fair. I don't know if I'd quite call the Joker Sunshine, but, like, I could see that dynamic. Like, that, yeah, that's a similar dynamic to what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's very not typical of Grumpy Sunshine, but I guess that could count.
Yeah.
So, actually, since we've been talking about Batman and Joker, this is a pretty smooth transition into my next thing. So I find it compelling that two very different characters can oftentimes bring out the best and worst of each other, which can make for some intense and usually intriguing interactions between a hero and a villain, specifically. So in a less malicious relationship, the Grump and the Sunshine, while having a bumpy start or rough patch, are two characters who are oftentimes intensively close. But if they are pitted against one another, this becomes quite a different relationship. And I guess this could sort of fit Batman and Joker, but also Captain Hook and Peter Pan. What does the grumpy sunshine trope add to the protagonist-antagonist relationship?
Okay, this is like a similar question that we were talking about. But can you have a sunshine villain?
Yeah, like, would they have to be almost unhinged in order to be that? To be sunshine?
I think that's a way you can play it. I'm, like, having trouble coming up with an example, but, like, I think I've seen characters like that, not necessarily in a grumpy sunshine pairing, but, like, I have seen instances of a villain, a serial killer, something like that, who is just a very, like, positive person, aside from the fact that he's killing people. Like, he views it as, like, artwork that he's doing, something like that.
Yeah,
so that's like a way that you could have like just an unhinged, completely a sunshine character that is very much a villain, and then like you could have a grumpy like hero who's the person who like defeats him or something like that. Like, I don't know if I've seen that directly, but like that could exist.
Makes sense. I think what you're going to get more in this is probably the charismatic villain versus the like stoic hero. I don't know if that would quite count as grumpy sunshine.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking more of, I mean, if we are thinking more of like protagonist antagonist, as far as in a contemporary setting, that can be done. It could be more of like rivals, and that's that works perfectly fine. But it's a little bit harder with fantasy or superhero stories or anywhere where you have like hero and villain. I feel like I've seen it though. I feel like what Ray had mentioned about like, I feel like I know characters that have fit this mold. And I feel like a lot of those characters are probably in like cartoons or anime.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. As far as what this trope adds to the protagonist antagonist relationship, like, it is a further way to contrast them and tends to make them more dynamic with each other. And I'd see particularly how it would be infuriating for the serious one. So like, you know, that's your SpongeBob Squidward dynamic. But yeah, no, I also like it does make sense that more often the hero is the sunshine one. Like, it's not a given, and we just talked about how that might not be the case. But I don't know. I suppose that's a way that a work could be more interesting, and you could play the trope a little in, like, an uncommon manner if, like, the villain is a sunshine character.
I mean, they could be misguided.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in a family of villains, and they don't want to be. But they have to, because they want to bake instead. And then they meet this grumpy character. And the grumpy character is like, you don't have to do this.
Perfect. Yeah, I think having your hero be a sunshine character is just a good way to like have a shorthand for like good morals, essentially. Like, they're optimistic, they're hopeful, they believe things are going to work out well and everything's going to be good. And if you just like code that into their personality, then you don't have to do as much work of, you know, pointing out why they are hopeful. That's who they are.
Yeah. I also think it's fun whenever you have a grumpy, like, you have like a sunshine hero, or I guess it could be either way, but like, I'm thinking of Avatar the Last Airbender, where you have like the sunshine hero, so you have Aang, and then you have the grumpy villain, you have Zuko, and then eventually those two end up, sorry, spoiler alert, working together multiple times. But whenever that happens, it adds another layer, because you have that tension of, you're supposed to be my enemy, or you're, you know, whatever, my rival, whatever it is. But then also, we work so well together, we complement each other. And there's just so many things you can do with that. But sometimes I feel like it can feel forced. And maybe I'm getting off track. I wasn't sure if I should include this or not, but I feel like sometimes you have stories where the hero and the villain are working together, but you don't. Sometimes it's done in a way where it's just kind of like the author just wants this to happen, and there's a little hand wave.
Yeah.
And they're working together just because, and it's fun, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, most often I see that done poorly. Like you just mentioned, like, I think like the best example of that is like when you go full redemption arc with like your villain. So like you just mentioned Aang and Zuko. It's like, yeah, I'm for that. But they also very much put the work in that, you know, why these people are on the same side now and why they're fighting for the same thing, why they're working together. Whereas, like, I think it happens probably more often in like your long running like TV shows that have like your heroes and villains, and it's usually like a lower level antagonist that like the protagonist teams up with and they defeat like a bigger bad guy, something like that. And like you can tell that it's mostly just for fun and like I don't know. Like like I think those ones can also work if like I think they can work, but like more often they're contrived. Like not enough thought is put into like, well, why would these people work together and how would that actually work, rather than like they just kind of skip straight to like, well, we're gonna make these people work together now.
Especially because you have the added layer of like these two characters don't like to work together even when they're on the same side, and so like not only do you have to get them over their opposing ideologies, you have to get over their opposing personalities. And to do that convincingly and quickly is a struggle.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I feel like whenever I do see it done poorly, it's because it's just the pacing is off. It's like, oh, immediately these characters are at least fine for a time working together, and that doesn't make sense.
I think you can make it work if your villain is morally gray and your heroes are also kind of morally gray.
That's true.
I was just like, I was hung up trying to think of sunshine villains, and Vampire Diaries has a decent amount of sunshine villains, but they're all like morally gray. And so, you know, they're all charismatic and hot, and sometimes they're on the good side and sometimes they're on the bad side.
So that's the key. Just be morally gray and it's easier.
Yeah, perfect.
Done. I will say though that when it's done well, another fascinating thing about the hero and the villain, or antagonist and protagonist, eventually working together, one of the reasons why I feel like it's so intriguing is that the villain and hero have already studied each other. They understand each other on a different level because they've fought for so long, or they've been pitted against one another, so they have to be attuned to the other's like strengths and weaknesses. And because of that, when they do, let's say they do work together and it's done well, it's such a beautiful thing to see, because they already know you fight like this and I fight like that, and it's a cinch. Like, we'll beat an army together and it's no problem. It's just such a beautiful thing to see.
Yes.
That's a situation that I really like, and I can also never tell how like real or contrived it is, if that makes sense. Because like I love it as an idea, but I feel like I haven't seen much of that in like real life or more realistic works, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it seems more fictionally based.
And like it's great, and it's a lot of fun. And I don't know, that thought doesn't have to go anywhere. It's just a curiosity.
Yeah, I just haven't seen it lately. And I've been wanting to see it again. Like, I guess I did see it a little bit in Avatar. Because Zuko is just so fixated on Aang because he needs to restore his honor. So, of course, he has learned the ins and outs of the Avatar. And Aang is just kind of like, well, dude, you've tried this a million times. I already know your tactics. And then when they're working together, and especially when you complement that with their bending, which is different, I don't know. I think it's... I'm here for it too.
Yeah. I think you more often get it the other way around where they start as friends and so they know each other from that. So when they're villains, they know each other's next move.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Which I also like.
I think I've seen that dynamic more with, like, I don't know, whatever they do with, like, Thor and Loki, because they like making these characters fight each other, and then they like having, like, shenanigans happen, and then Loki and Thor are, or, like, the Avengers or whatever, are fighting on the same side, and then Loki is a trickster, and so he's a villain again. Like, they like to play around with that, but... It also makes sense that he'd be good at working with particularly Thor because they did grow up as, like, siblings.
Yeah, I was thinking Professor X and Magneto, which is, you know, more Marvel. But so apparently the key is if you want to write any trope, do a long-running TV show or long-running series where you can just do all of the tropes.
You will get there eventually. Just play, like, trope bingo.
Yep.
Yeah. If you have 7 books, you'll have the room for it. Okay, so finally, how do you write this trope well? What should you avoid when writing this trope?
Grumpy and Sunshine are not really character traits in and of themselves.
Yes.
Like, they always have to be backed up with actual character traits. So, like, how is the grumpy person grumpy? How is the sunshine person sunshiny? Like, what do they value? How do they act? And just, like, I so often in these romance books, you know, the main guy has 2 character traits. He is hot and he is grumpy. And, like, neither of those are actual character traits. And so you get this just, like, a bunch of, like, female written man in a trench coat that does not make sense as a real character, and it's obnoxious.
Okay that makes sense, I suppose. Like, part of the thing I was about to say seems to, like, kind of go against that, or maybe argue with that, but I also haven't read nearly as many romance novels. Like, part of what I was noticing with this trope is I don't think I've ever seen it done really badly. Like, there have been times where I was sure it could have been better, and times where, like, just all of the writing isn't great, but, like, the trope itself is not the reason that the story is bad. So, like, I was actually looking, like, because, yeah, of course you want to write it well, but, like, I don't know what to, like, this is one that I feel like you can screw it up, but it seems pretty resilient. Like, it'll still function even if your characters are, like, just the barest caricatures of, like, Grumpy and Sunshine.
Yes, but that will make for a bad book. And so even if the characters are working as Grumpy and Sunshine, the book is not going to work because the characters are nothing but Grumpy and Sunshine. Like, this trope is one that's used as a band-aid a lot. It's like, I don't know how to write real characters, so I'm just going to throw this trope on here. And, like, people will eat it up because it's Grumpy and Sunshine, but it's also going to be a forgettable book. It's going to be characters that don't quite make sense, you know? Like, you can't just... Because you're right, it does work as a trope, no matter how bad the story is. But that doesn't excuse a bad story, essentially.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying, like, oh, just do this trope and you're good. Like,
yeah,
that kind of thing, because, like, I'm trying to be like very clear, like, yeah, it could be better. And but like most of the cases that I was seeing where this trope wasn't great, it like wasn't the trope's fault exactly. It's not like it was like misapplied or like that kind of thing. There are cases where it's like, oh, this person, like this author doesn't understand character, maybe, but like it's not like, like, I don't know. I haven't seen this trope like turn up like in places that it shouldn't be or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I think I would agree with that. I think more often what happens is someone's like, I want to write Grumpy in Sunshine, and then nothing else happens.
I don't have any further idea than that.
Like, it's not that this trope is applied to a plot that already called for it. It's like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to shove a couple plot things under it and a couple things that could be called characters, you know?
Okay. So it's, yeah. And I don't know, that like sort of circles back to advice that we come upon pretty often, where it's like a singular trope is probably not your whole story. Like, you need to like, the characters still need to be built into real characters. You still should have like things that they want. You should still have a compelling like situation, a compelling plot. However, like,
yeah,
the story, and, like, there has to be more story than just this trope.
And there have to be compelling reasons that these characters either like each other or don't. Like, the fact that they have different worldviews or different just outlooks on life is not enough to make a relationship one way or the other. Like, by all means, it can be like immediate annoyance. Like, I know I have met some sunshine people and been like, ew, no. But like, it's like, there's the immediate, and then there's more to that. So if your characters are going to keep running into each other, there has to be more than just, oh, you see the world differently, I don't like you.
Yeah, kind of branching off from that. Obviously, tropes are tools, and they are not end all be all. Use them, but then also, I know we keep saying this, but write characters in a well-rounded manner. and by, you know, thinking about a character's background, like Kristen was saying, understanding why they are sunshine, why they are grumpy, will help you tremendously. And then that means that when you get to a point in the novel where you are exploring, because again, like, people feel all kinds of things, and the grump, you know, can soften, and the sunshine character can cry, like, those things happen. understanding what will push them so that, you know, the reader or the viewer or whatever does see the multifaceted view of the character, because the character still should be well-rounded, even if they are consistently positive or negative or whatever it is. They should still be feeling and understanding the world in different ways, and it shouldn't be too consistent is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I do want to clarify, like, a person can by all means be like naturally taciturn or naturally bubbly. They don't need some kind of trauma in their past to force that.
Oh, yes.
But like, that can't be their entire personality, essentially. Like, you can't have a person be like, oh, he's taciturn and serious and not care about anything, not have any values, not whatever. Like, that doesn't work.
But I feel like it is important to point out that, you know, it's only going to help you for you to understand what your character's background is. Like, if you're digging to try to find out, like, this person is more naive, but is like upbeat and positive because, like, that's how they were raised. They were sheltered and their mom, like, still took them out, I don't know, every Sunday to like garden and like appreciate the world and whatever. I don't know. Now I'm just spouting nonsense, hey, but yeah,
I so important. I agree to an extent. I think I've gotten annoyed in stories where an author tries to explain every facet of a character's personality by like, oh, it's because of this piece of their childhood and this traumatic relationship and this. Yes. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, you're allowed to just be a happy person.
That's totally fair. But also, and I'm not saying like reveal that background piece to like the reader, but sometimes it's good to know like just for you, and you don't have mm-hmm. to every mm-hmm. piece of background doesn't need to be revealed, but you as the writer, sometimes it's nice to just kind of ask those questions, dig a little deeper, because then you can understand your character a little bit better. And like, mm-hmm. yes, they can just be a happy person, but like those mm-hmm. moments, those core memories that yeah. you might know, I think would help you as the writer solidify mm-hmm. that understanding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think more often my frustration is with when they try and explain like why a person is grumpy and pessimistic. And, like, they try and hinge it on trauma or something like yeah. that. And it's sort of like, yeah. sometimes, you know, people are just like that. Like, uh-huh. mm-hmm.
yeah.
Like, I feel like I've just seen too many works that, like, try and that take a character that's, like, serious or sad or, like, even, like, quirky. Like, just, like, in, like, kind of introverted. And they try and, like, give them a tragic backstory that seems yeah. to say this is why they're weird, and it's like uh-huh. first off yeah. they're not that weird, like
that's fair.
Yeah, agreed. Also, you don't have to make an arc around Grumpy and Sunshine becoming not yeah. Grumpy and not Sunshine, like yeah. that can mm-hmm. just yeah. be their character traits throughout all of it, and they can uh-huh. have completely independent arcs. Like, maybe they're yeah. trying to get into an art show or something, like
like, Eeyore can stay Eeyore. It's fine. Yes. Like,
yeah, I think so often I see, like, Sunshine pulls Grumpy out of his shell, and then suddenly he goes and, you know, is more, goes to parties and is more extroverted. And I'm like, that's not, no.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Or, like Sunshine learns to calm down and stay home. And I'm like, that's so boring. Uh-huh. Character consistency. Let's get on this.
Yes. Character consistency. But also depth. Isn't writing... Writing is so hard.
Yes. Honestly, like, Roy Kent is the perfect grumpy character. It's like, he does have arcs. He grows, like, he uh-huh. learns things, and he, like, gets better at, like, being in relationships, but he never stops being, like, the grumpy, angry person. Uh-huh. But he's not grumpy and angry all the time. Like, he's so great with his niece. Like, you know, uh-huh. it's just, oh, it's good. Well-rounded characters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just do that.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, everybody go watch Ted Lasso. Because Ted Lasso is, like, a perfect Sunshine character, too.
That's
like,
true.
He has a backbone. He knows what he wants. He has moments of being mm-hmm. sad. He has mm-hmm. like emotional arcs, but he is still consistently Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One other question that, like, this might not be relevant, but, like, I was yeah. also wondering, like, for most of the portrayals of this I see, there's, like, it kind of necessitates some element of comedy. Like, I don't think you can really have this pairing without, like, some, like, levity. Like, it's kind of insisted upon by the Sunshine character. So, I don't know, this might be, like, a nonsensical question, but, like, is it possible to have something that has, like, these kinds of characters, but it isn't really comedic?
I think it becomes less this trope. Because I think you're, mm-hmm. I think calling out mm-hmm. this trope necessitates, like, the spark of Grumpy and Sunshine off of each other, which leads to humorous mm-hmm. situations yeah. a lot of times. Whereas if you have, like, a Grumpy character and a Sunshine character in a drama, even if they're, like, together, mm-hmm. that's not going to be the focus of what's happening.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, like, mm-hmm. you can still have the dynamic, but it's not necessarily the trope.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. It's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, this definitely, it leans towards levity, whether it's romance or comedy or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't lean toward drama, because then it just gets weird and sad. And uh-huh. I don't even know how this would, I don't like imagining that. That's uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm trying to think, and I feel like there might be moments of this with, because we have mentioned that Grumpy Sunshine, because they're so different, there are moments of disagreement or.
Mm-hmm. No, this is how you end up with frigid women.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Yeah, if you put a sunshine woman in a drama, she usually ends up dead.
Yeah, they usually kill her. That makes sense. Your positive characters. Yep.
Oh man, my mind went to like two male characters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably also frequently die.
Well, yeah.
Well, technically, yeah. Well, kind of. Because my mind went to Kingdom Hearts again because I had mentioned Sora and Riku, and like Sora is very much cheerful, optimistic. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can do anything, and like. With the power of friendship and that kind of stuff. And then Riku is very much like, the world is awful and everything you do is like pointless and meaningless and like all this. And there's there are a few moments in Kingdom Hearts 1 where, and this plays around with the whole like antagonist dynamic because they start off friends, they become, you know, not. Basically, yeah, Riku becomes the antagonist, and in that he almost like makes fun of Sora's like lighthearted, happy-go-lucky personality, and it's just kind of like, no, you know, basically that's dumb. That's not never gonna work. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And those moments are heart-wrenching and all and sad. But that doesn't really after that, like it becomes great because when they do become friends again, Riku is basically like, no, you basically pulled me through some of the darkest moments of my life. And, and you know, you're always there for me. And so it's interesting because it does look back on those darker moments and be like, I was wrong and I'm sorry for hurting you. And I think those are also like wonderful things. Wonderful situations to have in story where it's like, oh, this is you as a person, and I'm sorry that, you know, I hurt you, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could happen with Sunshine too, where it's like, I didn't understand you, and I'm sorry that I pushed you too hard or something.
Aww.
Like we mentioned before, and I feel like, yeah, we need to have more of these.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And that's also like, okay, so this, I think, relates to our previous question about, like, whether you can have, like, an introverted Sunshine character. And, like, I feel like you can't, like, you can have a story that's more serious overall. And if your Sunshine character is more introverted and just, like, optimistic, but not really, like, super reactive or that kind of thing, then you can have a more serious story that has like that's more of a drama and less of a comedy, if that makes sense. Like there's usually more like lighthearted moments because like the Sunshine character is bringing things up, but if you are in something that's more gritty, it might come off just as more like they're a warm, solid, helpful person. Like I feel like it's not consistently this, but I feel like Sam and Frodo kind of play this dynamic because like Frodo very down and dour and like has, you know, has this impossible task in front of him, but meanwhile Sam is generally like steadfast and trying to cheer Frodo up and like just a very helpful presence. So that's like more of like a warm Sunshine kind of thing, but like I don't think we would pull this out as like, oh, this is the Sunshine grumpy trope. Like,
that, yeah. Like, Legolas and Gimli do that well too.
Yeah.
But,
and that tends to come off a little more comedic, even.
Mm-hmm. But I still wouldn't call it like, oh, this is grumpy Sunshine.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That's just good character dynamics. Which I feel like that is another thing that everyone needs to understand is not everything has to be a trope.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like now that we've started marketing books by tropes, everyone is like super eager to call everything like the most popular tropes. And not everything is a trope. Sometimes it's just, you know, good characters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is not to say tropes are bad. We love tropes here at To Trope or Not To Trope. Oh, also, we did not ask, to trope or not to trope, Grumpy Sunshine?
Oh, obviously trope.
Yeah.
Trope, okay. Of course.
Just making sure.
I guess that's why I didn't ask, huh? Because it's
duh.
Sorry about that. Sorry. About
no, that's fine.
I mean, I will say trope carefully, just because I feel kind of burnt out on this one. At least seeing it badly.
Yeah.
Like trope while doing something else.
This is not the end-all, be-all trope.
Yeah, supplements. You can't write Grumpy Sunshine and be like, yep, there's my book. Wash hands of it, you know? There has to be something else going on.
Okay, and that's our episode. Listeners, did you not really care for this episode, or did you think it was the best, most stupendous episode yet? Email us at totropeornottotrope@gmail.com and let us know. We'll be back soon with another trope in a month. Thanks for listening to Trope or Not to Trope, and happy writing.